It's the month after test week. Your heart is racing in anticipation as you open up the email from your accounting lecturers and read those three infamous, potentially earth-shattering words. Marks are out. You approach the student portal with caution and apprehension, with each passing web page sending chills up your spine. Click, click. You get closer and closer until... Oh, for real? Now, I'm not going to mention a particular mark because the appropriate mark for that reaction is different for all of us. It could have been 30%, 40%, 50%, 60%, but it was what we all know as failure. Our guest and my good friend, Teboho Zubane, comes to share with us his lessons in failure, the good, the bad, the ugly, but all the growth that comes with it as well. We chat about his lessons from failure, his perspective as the poet accountant, the power of practice, whether you are a driven or dragged student, exotelic and autotelic activity and their effect on flow states, being performance-driven versus process-driven versus purpose-driven, the concept of deep work, and a whole lot more. Debza is one of the most motivating, knowledgeable, and charming individuals I know in the program, and you are going to love him. Enjoy. My aspiring CAs, my travelers. Before we start today's episode, I want to celebrate with you all. There is a lot to celebrate. Three things in particular, and I have one request for you. The first one, Happy Youth Day in commemoration of June 16, 1976. A horrific day, but a historic day nonetheless. You know, every year I see that photo. You know that photo of Mbuyisa Makhubu holding the fatally wounded Hector Peterson. And as the years go by, it gets harder to see it. You know, it doesn't get easier to see that photo. In fact, it gets even more difficult. Thank you guys for listening. You know, I feel like in some selfish way, when we band together and create community and the subsequent prosperity that will ensue, because it will bloody begin in CASA, we can in some way honor his tragedy. And so thank you. And happy Youth Day. Second one, happy Father's Day to all the fathers and father figures out there working hard to keep us safe and affording us all these opportunities we take for granted. My honest regard goes out to you. You don't get enough thanks. Thank you. Third one, just yesterday, we hit 1,000 total downloads. I wish I had that horn thing, but... And like, this is just such a testament to the amazing journeys you all have and the incredible perspectives that you've shared. We've achieved this in such a short time, not because of luck, but because of you. So thank you for listening in. Thank you for sharing this, man. Please don't stop. We need more support and closer bonds than ever. So keep on sharing this. If you love it, if you like it, let's keep growing this podcast together. And lastly, my one request. Seeing we are going from strength to strength here, please let the world know us travelers on the road by giving the show a 5-star rating, either quickly now, before or after this episode. It would mean the world to me. It lets other people know that this is not a waste of time, that this is actually something that will give you value, something that's going to give you inspiration and hopefully some information on the journey. So in whatever app you're listening to this through, please give us a smashing rating. And I promise to only get better for you all, keep on serving you. I'm just joking. I'll do it anyway. I'll keep on getting better. But I would love if you did. Nonetheless, with that, on to the episode. Welcome back, my people. This is The Road to CA. It's yours, it's mine, it's our conversation where we look back, we look within, and we look beyond, not in the hopes that it will end, but that it will begin in CASA. Hailing from Attridgeville, we have a charismatic character. Someone, in my opinion, who is inspiring just in his demeanor. I think his demeanor is something that brings so much value to any room. He's an avid runner. He is an aspiring entrepreneur and a solopreneur currently himself. He's also the chairperson of the Sub House at University of Pretoria, House CA. And he is, above all else, a child of God and a man on a journey, a man on a mission. Debza, how are you, man?
Mr. Alunga, thank you so much for the invitation. Mm. And you're far too kind. What an intro.
It's fitting.
For a second there, I was like, is he talking about me? Thank you, my man.
Thank you, bro. I really always appreciate talking to you.
Likewise.
Like, this is not the first time, obviously. Every single conversation, it's always like I'm learning, bro.
It goes both ways.
It's always like I'm learning, dude.
It goes both ways. Should we share that this is our second take?
Look, it's our second take of many.
Yeah.
Of many more.
And of for many me, more. I was super excited because, you know, the first take, unfortunately, the guys won't be able to hear it, but I walked away with so much insight into, you know, your interests, the things that you're thinking about, some of the barriers you're trying to break through. And I went, when you offered me the opportunity to come re-record, I said, oh my gosh, in a heartbeat, I'll be there. You know, thanks, it's always incredible to chat to you, boss.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. Let's go back 10 years.
Sure.
Let's go back a decade because they don't know. I know. Where did the love affair begin with accounting sciences?
Sure. So the journey started 10 years ago, like you said, in grade 8. So I was in grade 8 in 2014. And I went to a specialization school called Pro Arte Alphen Park. And there, they offer multiple specializations ranging from drama to hospitality to accounting to art and to music. And although I tried to apply to go into hospitality, I was told it was full.
Thankfully.
And so I had to go into accounting. And while I was there, man, the subject just seemed so interesting to me. You know, the way it works, the debits and the credits, and how you can test.
And the deferred tax.
We didn't have that back then.
But yo, it was nice back then.
So the idea of, you know, being able to test that your recording of a transaction may be correct just by it balancing, that seemed interesting to me, you know? So the accounting equation of assets equals owner's equity plus liability, that, you know, triggered my brain a certain way. And yeah, I was like, no matter what, I want to see how far I can go with this. You know, it's been a great journey, yes, with its highs, but also with its lows. But I'm still here, and I want to see what else I can, you know, learn while on this journey, what else I can do to develop as a person, as a professional, you know, and yeah. So far, so good.
Yeah.
So far, so good. Ultimately. Good,
On a net basis.
Yes.
On a net basis.
That's the way to put
dude,
it.
Dude, you mentioned, I'm very curious, how your brain, it went off when you saw the balancing, right? The counting equation. And, you know, some people, their brains go off when they hear a word or they see, you know, the sentence structure or they hear the alliteration. You know, that's why they'll go into a more literary career, right? What else does your brain get triggered by? Because I know you're not the You don't, you've never been, for me, like an accountant.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So what else?
So I'll have you know, I'm also a big fan of poetry.
Okay.
I write sometimes. My partner has been on the receiving end of some of my work.
How lucky.
poetry, music in grade 8. Not only did I discover accounting, but I dabbled into rap. And that's how I found, you know, Proverb. Mm-hmm. You know, the song that I told you about, yeah, it's been in my life for as long as I can remember.
Yeah. And
the rhyming of words coupled with storytelling, you know, it just fascinates me. You know, although I didn't become a writer, you know, full time or want to pursue a career in it, it's something I enjoy in my private time.
That's interesting, man. You know, even me, I wanted to be a musician
for real
back in grade 10, dude.
Rap, R&B, gospel.
Not gospel. More like R&B, more like also rap. I can.
Wow. But
yeah, I came back home and it was during the holidays and I was on my laptop.
Yeah.
And I was busy trying to learn how to produce. And my mother could see, hey, this one, he's starting to do the music thing.
Fruity Loops.
That production software. And fortunately, she told me, my child, Danam, it's not time.
Yeah.
It's time. I think it was such a blessing from God that I stopped.
Sure.
I do believe that if I were to pursue a career in music, I would be successful. But now, in hindsight, I don't think that is my version of the most value that I can give to the world. Just my version, because I do believe... Like comedians, I'm starting to realize, man, they are amazing. They're integral, dude.
Yeah.
Like, how do we live without humor?
Exactly.
You know, so even musicians, they give that same, their own value.
Yeah.
So I see now my side. Dude, I want us to go straight to the topic that we were chatting about last time.
Mm-hmm.
A topic that it looks like you have done some thinking yourself, and you've come to a new conclusion.
Yeah,
let's talk about failure. Talk about failure. I failed. You did as well. Mm-hmm. Back in second year.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what failure means to you now.
Well, I think failure is a humbling experience. It gives one the opportunity to reflect. To then go back and investigate where there may be errors in one's process. So I think it's a gift somewhat in that once you break through the emotional part of it, the heartbreak, the sadness, you then fortunately get to realize that it's an opportunity to go just sharpen the blade a little bit more. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Just to go spend more time refining the work process. And I think that can be, you know, like you said, it can be a gift, you know, that can position you to go and become a better version of yourself. So yeah, I think... that's what I now think about it, you know? But I'll tell you for free, when you're in that emotional phase of it, it seems like the end of the world. It seems like, you know, you can never get another opportunity to try your hand at the craft. It can be crushing, you know?
Mm.
But it, I guess, depends on the individual. If you're willing to be humble enough to go back and dust off the processes or the system that you follow,
mm-hmm.
in you know, achieving your outcomes. Okay. You know? I think the other thing about failure is that it's very clear.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't learn from it, it's very happy to come revisit you. Yeah, that's one thing about it.
Hey, failure is such a bubbly, interesting, spontaneous, friendly. such a nice company, such a nice neighbor.
Yeah.
Failure will gladly come around.
If you don't learn, it's happy to come revisit you. And yeah, that's the thing I've continuously learned about it. I mean, day to day, man. For example, if you know that if you don't clock your 7 hours of sleep at night, it can result in you possibly becoming sleepy in class, but then you continue to say, let me watch that extra YouTube video, you know? It's going to help me fall asleep. But
quote,
then,
unquote.
You know what I mean? But then you end up clocking only 5, pull up to FRK, they start mentioning IS-8.
It's not balancing.
You're not seeing how to, you know, calculate that change in estimate. And then now you blame the lecturer. But in actual fact, you didn't learn from the fact that you're not at your optimal level if you don't sleep enough.
It's crazy if you think about it, how you feel when you have slept versus when you haven't slept in a lecture.
Yeah.
Like there's a day and night difference. Yeah. I only realized it this year.
Yeah.
That the days that I slept, I could think.
Sure.
The days I didn't sleep, I couldn't think. Usually in a lecture, like, you can think and you can kind of grapple with the idea, take it to its limits in your head and say, okay, is it okay? Did she say that the limit is this? Okay, what if it's past the limit? You can do that in the moment when you've slept.
Yeah, you see the correlations, you connect the dots, you engage.
You engage. Yo, that sleep one, bro.
Yeah. And that's its own daily lesson.
Yeah.
You know, if we choose not to be aware of the power and the value of sleep, then you're just going to repeatedly have horrible and miserable days over and over.
Mm.
That's a form of failure.
Yeah. And you say daily lesson. I'm beginning to realize more and more that we need less lessons and more reminders.
Mm.
We know we need to sleep.
Powerful. Powerful.
We know we need to sleep.
Sure.
You know?
100%.
Like, we know that we need to do questions.
Yeah. Yep. I'm not going to lie. That's something that, yeah, I'm still struggling with.
Me too.
You know?
I'm still struggling myself.
Because how do you balance the whole idea of I need to get through this theory in order to understand the work before I try my hand at practicing it within a limited time period? How do you then split your time? You know, I'm of the view that I can't get to questions before I've fully grappled with the principles, the theory. But by the time I then say, okay, let me go try.
It's your test tomorrow.
Bro, CV2 is around the corner.
Yeah.
Yeah, 4 tests in one day. You're going to do your first question at 7:30 in auditing.
Yeah.
Chief, it's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy. But I know it.
Yeah.
I need to do questions.
Yeah.
You know, we get told that it's a science, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you constantly need to experiment with the work on a daily basis in order for you to develop your skill at being able to do the work, you know?
I can hear your rapper. You're experimenting science.
Oh,
I can hear. I can hear the analogies, word. The connections.
Oh, my word. But yeah, I mean, this program, yeah, it wants you to grapple with the problems, right? With the questions. Otherwise, you can know your IFRS standards down to the paragraph.
Mm.
But then application is a zero. What then happens? The marks reflect that this guy didn't do questions.
Yeah. You got to know why you're here.
100%.
You got to know why you're here. You're here to apply.
100%.
You're here to apply. Not just learn. Or rather, learning is it's a very general term. Not just gain knowledge.
Mm.
You're here to apply.
Mm.
You know?
Because at the end of the day, when you do get those four letters behind your last name, you're going to be, you know, tested with real life problems. Mm. And there, you won't sit in front of a client and go, look, IFRS paragraph whatever says 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You need to show them why it says that and how it applies to their business case. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we need to practice that skill now already. I think that's what the lecturers constantly, you know, try and get us to do. But yeah, as students, sometimes we don't clock it, you know?
Most of the time, man. Most of the time. Dude, I saw this interesting thing on your status.
Yeah.
Just now.
Mm-hmm.
Driven or dragged? Explain that, man. Driven or dragged?
So that's something I actually picked up from your guy, Stephen Bartlett.
And oh, he was, damn.
Talking about, you know, in life, are you being driven towards the life you want to accomplish or the goals you want to achieve from within yourself? Or is life just dragging you along and you're not in control of what happens to you or you know, what you get to control in life, you know? And it's a question I'm constantly grappling with personally.
Mm.
I mean, even on this journey, man, it's like I'm constantly trying to answer that question for myself. Am I being dragged along to get a degree in accounting sciences so I can, you know, show it to my parents? Or is it really something that I'm personally driving myself to achieve and beyond?
Mm.
You know, obviously on days when the energy levels aren't so high, then you lean more towards the dragged side, right? But then when I do get my 7 hours of sleep and I am reminded of why I'm here, then I feel more driven. So it's a very delicate balance, you know, between the two sides. But yeah, it's just something I woke up thinking about today. Like, for example, when you don't prepare for a lecture and consequently put yourself in a position of not really knowing what's going to be happening in that lecture, you're going to feel like, oh man, these lecturers, man, they just want us to be here. It's a waste of time. You know, you feel dragged, right? But if you engage with your work, you consolidate the work from before or the day before, and then you prep for the lecture that you're going to be attending, and you know the fact that you have questions, you know what's coming, you won't be lost in the lecture, then you're going to feel driven to be there, right? So that you can get as much value from that hour and a half, 2 hours as you can, right? So that's the two sides of it that are constantly there for me in my mind. Mm. Always curious, am I being driven or dragged along the journey of, you know, being a CASA?
Three things kind of pop up in my mind. Preparation, purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So the goal.
Yeah.
The why. I don't want to say the. I'll say a.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say a why. Yeah. I don't want to create too much pressure. Like, you don't have to have it all figured out or anything like that.
Yeah.
And state. So state is, maybe I'm being too general, I'd rather say your emotional and physical state.
Sure.
Preparation, purpose, and your emotional and physical state. Those are the things I've kind of seen. Because I agree. Like, when you've prepared for the lecture and you're in the lecture, you're flying.
Yeah.
You're engaged. You know, it's not that boring. Oh, goodness gracious. This lecture, this is a waste of time.
yeah.
Looking at your watch. And that is also enhanced when you have had enough sleep. So therefore your emotional and your physical state will be ready. Your brain is primed. And then on top of that, if you can. Like, this is like where you're getting into that extra territory.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a reason? Do you have a real purpose behind coming and studying every day?
Sure.
You know, but I think it's enough though, having the other two. I think that's enough, especially if this studying and stuff is pleasurable in itself. I've recently been going down the rabbit hole of this, the study of flow, which is the zone state, like when you're in the zone. And they speak of, in that field, in that neuroscience field, they speak of exotelic and autotelic activity.
Okay.
So exotelic is what we generally do. We are doing something as a means to achieve a certain goal. So it's a means to an end. What a good example. We study so that we can get a certain mark for the test, right?
Sure.
We will run so that we can get fit.
Sure.
Or you run, and this is actually a great example. Let's go to run because you're a runner. Now, on the flip side, autotelic activity, the means is the end.
Mm.
You do the thing for the sake of doing it.
Yes.
You run because you love to run.
Yes, that I'm a runner.
Doing the running is the goal.
Sure.
The process is the goal. And I believe like preparation and like being healthy, it makes the process fun.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. You don't need to have a race booked. You don't need to, you know, have a calendar lined up with, you know, different sessions. Well,
you don't. You
yeah,
don't.
Yeah, yeah.
Me, I do.
For real?
Dude, if I ever am going to run, dude, oh my goodness, running.
It's got to be for a cause.
It's got to be for the children up in Africa.
Oh my gosh.
Who need...
which is an amazing cause. Don't
it's an amazing, yeah, it's yeah. an amazing yeah, yeah. cause, but it's exotelic, bro.
Mm. Well, for me, it's... I love everything that running comes with.
Mm-hmm.
From, you know, the discipline you get from waking up when your alarm rings to go hit the road to... the community that's in the running space, your fellow runners that you know, see in the morning when it's dark and gloomy, you know, to the need to maintain a certain diet. So it forces you to, I mean, now, if I may share.
Are you still vegan, bro?
Vegetarian. Okay. Not
not vegan. That's next level.
Not vegan. Vegetarian. Okay. So that as well. So it sort of challenges me to see, okay, how can this better my ability to run, right? Recovery, you know, speed, endurance.
How have you found that? Has it had any implications on your performance?
I think it helps a lot with the recovery. I'm not gonna lie to you. Yeah. I'm able to go out the next day much more, how can I say, refreshed than I used to be. But I'm not, this is not a promo for vegetarianism. It's just something I've noticed about myself.
It's your experience.
Yeah, that's
all that's being shared here. This is not nutritional advice.
Yeah.
Nor is it financial advice, bloody, bloody. Disclaimer. Like, dude, it's just your experience.
Yeah, for sure.
I would personally never do vegetarianism.
Tell me why.
Simply because I love meat.
Oh, simply.
That's about it. that's about it.
That's a fair enough reason.
Yeah, pretty much. Dude.
Yeah. But tell me more about the other side of it. You were talking about the exoteric. What's the other side?
Exotelic, autotelic.
Exotelic.
That's where, in your case, we don't really care about the goal, or rather the results of the activity. So the results, you get... fit.
Mm.
You have stronger cardiovascular health.
Yes.
Higher VO2 max.
Stronger bones.
Stronger bones. Yeah. You know, I know heart rate variability, HRV it's a key life expectancy indicator.
Yes.
You'll get a higher that if you run. That's not why you run.
Mm-mm.
So if we can try and take as much of our life, take it out the exotelic realm and put it into the autotelic. That's where we can, at a high level, put it on auto. You don't really have to. And that's like, it does still take discipline, because now you have to audit your system. You're going to have to really get into certain habits. But like, once you're, we're all creatures of habit. Once you've got it, you've got it. So that's all exotelic and autotelic. Autotelic, the means is the end. Exotelic, you are doing something for an end.
So if we were to sort of translate it into the journey that we're on now.
It's a great one, yeah.
How would it look, those two sides, how could they contrast between one another? Let's say for a student that's in third year trying to get entrance into PGDA at the University of Pretoria. So could you then describe how one can go from just looking at getting the marks to enjoying the process of being on the journey towards gaining skills, competences, and knowledge to become a value adder one day? How would their experiences differ?
Hey, that's a good question, dude. Hey, maybe you should start a podcast. Dude, that's a very good question. Gilly Hoffman came. He's like a mental toughness coach. He's like a performance coach.
Oh, yeah?
And he came and he explained, he showed this table with various stages of our educational career. So we start off in high school, we come to university, and we have post-university and work. And in high school, we are performance-driven.
Okay.
We care about results.
Sure.
We don't care about what we did. We don't care about, I don't have to study. As long as I just cram the night before and come to the test and I get the A, shut up, mom. I'm gonna come and do my thing. You saw the results. So sure. That's what we tend to be in high school. When we come to university, we become more process-driven.
Okay.
Especially in really engaging and stimulating and involved courses. Mm-hmm. So some courses, they're just like, they just come, you can cram. So most degrees are like crammable. Accounting's not. We're process driven now.
Sure.
And at this level, you have to get the process down. Because if you don't, actually you'll fail.
Mm.
Last year, I didn't have a process for accounting. And that's why I failed.
Sure.
You didn't have the process of when you wake up. I mean, I don't even want to get into the personal life type of things, but what's your time management looking like?
Mm.
Do you prepare for the lecture? Do you engage in the lecture? Do you take notes? Do you consolidate by doing questions? It's all process. Mm. It's all process. And if you're not doing that, you'll fail. So, I don't know. It's like the system forces you to be process-driven.
Okay.
And if you're not, you'll fail. Sure. You won't get through. You just won't get through if you don't. Look, you might not be getting the pre-engage, engage, consolidation model, like perfect, but there has to be a process.
Okay.
There has to be a process. There has to be, okay, I'm doing maybe a little bit of pre-reading before. I think pre-reading is the last thing a lot of people get to. But when you're in that lecture, you're taking the notes, and then you do questions.
Sure.
Or you do reading afterwards. Has to be a process. Like, I just don't see, of all like the friends I've had and the people that I see study, I don't see anyone who doesn't have a process get through.
And I think better yet when it's custom made, right?
Exactly.
When you know your learning style, when you know the best environment to be in order to, you know, enter your flow state, do your deep work. I think, yeah.
Have you read Deep Work by Cal Newport?
I have tried to read it.
What did you learn? I haven't.
So I didn't finish the book.
Can you explain to the audience what it is first and then get into it?
Deep Work.
Yeah.
So the author speaks about sort of getting into an environment where you remove all your distractions in order for you to be grappling with a problem for so long that you reach and go beyond the limits that you think your mind and your brain have in unlocking whatever it is you'll be trying to, you know, solve for in doing that problem. So it's a process of spending time doing a problem for much longer than you'd ordinarily deem yourself fit for. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it kind of dabbles into the topic you were mentioning of flow state. He went to describe it in a more practical way than just a buzzword, you know.
So it's nice to say flow.
yeah, right? Yeah, flows off the tongue much easier than deep work. but yeah, it's a fascinating book. I do plan on finishing it, but he also mentioned how when you spend more time doing deep work, the outcome of that ends up being that you learn to do hard things faster. That's one of the outcomes. Yeah.
That is what we do every day in accounting.
Yeah.
I mean, consider those tests. I mean, you got to sit there and do hard things.
Yeah.
4 hours sitting in that test.
Yeah.
You know, 3 hours sitting in that test.
Trying to solve things that, I mean, in the case of the FBS CV2, a lot of the guys that I was speaking to afterwards were like, but that's not how we practice capital budgeting, right? But they put you in that scenario and they go, okay, so you walked in thinking you were going to calculate. No, chief, discuss. You know what I mean?
Oh, no.
But if you spent enough time seeing the different principles that we're supposed to unlock and unpack in capital budgeting, spent enough time doing enough questions, you know, marking your work, consulting, you know, those resources that we're told are available, then by the time you see that question, for as much as it will be, you know,
new,
right, and different, but I imagine one wouldn't necessarily be stunned by it to the point where they say, I can't even lift my pen. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what Carl says. He says that when you go beyond doing shallow work, which is where you, let's say, for example, you're doing a question in, you know, employee benefits, for example, and then your phone vibrates and you go, let me just check who it is. I won't respond, but let me just check who it is. So now you've distracted yourself.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So now you're going to have to reset your focus and come back to it and then try to retrace your steps. Oh, where was I? So it disturbs the flow state that you were in.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's no longer a flow now. There's a wave crash. Right?
Yeah.
So that's what he speaks. That's shallow work, where now you're constantly in two minds. The mind of, yes, I'm trying to, you know, solve this problem, but also I'm looking out for a text from the missus. You know what I mean? So it doesn't allow you to fully grapple with the problem.
I hear you, bro. Deep work, more deep work. Maybe I'll read the book. Devza, we didn't even get into your role at House A, but you'll come back. It's fine. It's not a problem. We didn't even get into your entrepreneurial journey, et cetera, but not a problem. That's why part two is coming up. If you could go back, tell first year high school Debza one thing, what would that be?
Sure. I think it would be try not to overcomplicate your situation or the point in time that you're at by either looking too far back mm-hmm. or too far ahead. Mm. I think that can, sure. for me personally, that can distract me a little bit, you know? Like, for example, in the case of where I am now, I sometimes think to myself, man, there was a point in time when I was getting distinctions. Why am I not anymore? Do you get what I'm saying?
And that's not helpful. It's not helpful at this level.
Right? And then, you know, the flip side will be, man, I want to, you know, be in that office, wherever, you know, being a contributor around a board, you know, in the C-suite. You know what I mean? So that's also
a little too far.
Do you get what I'm saying? So my advice to myself would be try to zoom in and simply focus on the task at hand at that point in time. And while doing that, ask for as much help as you can. Do as much research about that problem at hand as you can, you know. And also, you know, spend the time. Mm. Spend the time. It's not going to be fun at times. It's not going to be aesthetic. It's not going to be, you know, postable or whatever the case may be. It's going to look ugly at times. But spend the time doing the work, because the reality is, for as much as, you know, people may be around you to, you know, lend a helping hand, nobody's going to do the work for you. That's the reality of it. So that's the advice I'd give my first year self or my end of high school so. Version of Dave's. yeah
That's powerful, bro. And even me, I'm learning from it. Like, too far, it even gets to the level of just mental masturbation, of just dreams for the sake of dreaming. Too far back, so that's too far forward. Too far back, it becomes dwelling.
Yeah.
Dwelling on uncontrollable factors.
100%.
Uncontrollable things. Guys, if you are listening to this, fire, this super hot fire, please... Ndakela, I believe, follow it. Tebza, you're gonna come back,
for sure.
But where can people find your business? I think your business, if you got some sneakers, Tebza's got some services that he can tell you about. Will your number be in the description? Or
no, 100%. So okay. That's where people can reach out to me. So it's a small business that I run and operate solely focus. That's a pun, actually. Let me try and word that differently.
It's running a
primarily focusing on the cleaning of sneakers.
He's running it.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Damn. Okay, new slogan.
Yeah. So that's what, oh my gosh. Yeah. So that's what I do. I clean sneakers. I have a love for the before and the after effect of cleaning. Mm. So, you know, receiving a dirty pair of sneakers and then, you know, spending the time trying to, you know, take them back to their former glory of when they were crisp and fresh and ready for your next outing. That's something that really excites me, you know. And to be able to say I saved you the trouble of having to do it yourself, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's a cool thing that I enjoy doing in my spare time. Yeah.
Okay, what's it called?
It's called Boss Brush Up Services.
It's called Bosch Brush Up. Or flash.
Alliterations.
Okay. Boss Brush Up Services.
Yeah.
She sells seashells on the seashore. Boom.
Okay, but when it's your friend's business name, then you just messed it up.
No,
okay.
No. I had to warm up.
Get you.
So I was warm for...
I get you.
What? Guys, follow this.
Road to what?
Hey, dude, it's your road, bro. Follow this, follow this. Thank you so much, Debson. This is amazing, man. Thank you, brother.
Thank you so much for the invitation, boss. And it's been a lovely conversation. I'm glad that we got to do it.